Migratory birds are coming back. It's that time of year. And amongst those migratory birds returning to our area are what can seem like an obscene amount of waterfowl species, both in numbers and also types. That perception would not be wrong, not entirely. We do play host to a large number of duck species, though at times it seems to me like the vast majority of them are northern pintails. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Others are or will be here as well, and some species will seem a lot more common than others. With geese, however, the actual numbers might be very, very large, but that number is much smaller, as in six. We are home, during the warmer months, to six goose species. Those species are Canada geese, cackling geese, emperor geese, white-fronted geese, snow geese, and brants. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I would note, as I begin today's episode, that I often consult with the official Togiak Refuge Wildlife List. It's a brochure that can be found at our office. That's not the first time you've heard me mention it, and it likely won't be the last. That doesn't mean that the wildlife list is always right, and that's because things can and do change. Geese are an excellent example. The wildlife list for the refuge has five species listed, and it omits the cackling species. The reason for that is that for the longest time, until very recently, cacklers were thought to be a variant of Canada goose. In recent years, genetic research has determined that cacklers are different enough to stand alone, though they sure do look a lot like a Canada goose. With that in mind, six, not five, let's take a look at some of the geese you might see around the area right now. Probably the most well-known goose species is the Canada goose. And let's get it right from the outset that the name is Canada goose, not Canadian, though a lot of people still say that. Canada geese are a large waterfowl species that are very distinct in looks. Well, until their recent severance from cacklers, but I digress. When I say large, Canada geese can be well over 3 feet in length when you consider the head and neck all the way to the tail. Larger adults can have a wingspan of more than 5 feet and weigh more than 15 pounds. In terms of those distinct looks, they have a black head and neck with a snow-white strap that goes under the back part of the chin and extends up onto the cheeks on either side. Additionally, the chest is tan, the back a darker brown, and the rump area is white. They have black feet, legs, and a black bill. Canada geese can be found across most parts of North America at some point during the year, and they can find a home near any place that's not too far from a water source. In spring and summer, geese concentrate their feeding on grasses and sedges, including eelgrass, which is common around parts of Togiak Refuge. During the fall and winter, they switch to berries and seeds and are known to hit agricultural grains heavily in areas that support agriculture. Nesting is done on the ground, usually on an elevated area near water. Clutch sizes can be as large as 8 eggs. I would note that there are as many as 11 subspecies of Canada goose, although differences between them are subtle enough that most folks wouldn't notice. In general, these variations get smaller as you move north and darker as you go west. As I mentioned, cacklers look a whole lot like a smaller version of a Canada goose. In fact, the colors are pretty spot on for the same, and to someone at a casual glance, you might not tell the difference. They're quite a bit smaller than Canada geese and have a blockier look, possibly due to the fact that they have a shorter neck. The forehead is a bit steeper and the bill is smaller. When I say that they're smaller in size, they're seldom more than about 2 feet in length and weigh maybe 6 or 7 pounds. Everything else I shared about Canada geese holds true as well, with where they're found and what they eat and how they nest, although some are known to nest near rocky cliffs in addition to low areas near water. Really, the big difference, besides the genetics, is with their size. An interesting note is that the oldest recorded cackling goose was a male that was at least 22 years old. We know this because he was shot in Oregon in 2010, and he had been banded in Alaska in 1987. A third type of goose is the snow goose. I have to confess, I once thought snow geese were white, hence the name. They can be white, but they can also be dark, having a blue-gray look in the right light. The dark variation was previously thought to be a separate species and was called a blue goose, not to be confused with the refuge symbol blue goose, which actually looks something like a blue Canada goose. It has since been determined that the two are genetically the same, and all are actually snow geese, so no blue goose. The two color variations are referred to as morphs, so snow geese are either a white morph or a blue morph. The white morphs are pretty much that, white all over. They do have black primary feathers in their wings. The legs are reddish-pink in color, and the bill is similarly colored. The bill also has a distinct black marking along the edge of the lip line on both the top and bottom. This black bill patch is often referred to as the grinning patch or smile. I'm a bit skeptical of that description. I've looked at a bunch of photos of snow geese, and while the patch is distinctive, and yeah, you can see it, it looks more like a sneer than a smile, but hey, that's just my opinion. The blue morph has the same legs, bill, and feet, and they have black primaries and a white head and neck. But as mentioned, the body is a dark brown and the feathers on the tops of the wings can have a blue-gray appearance to them. Also, there can be a smattering of white on the undersides and around the tail. Size-wise, snow geese are considered medium-sized geese. So, what ranks as medium? About 30 inches in length, give or take a few, and a wingspan of 4.5 feet, and they weigh around 6 or 7 pounds. Snow geese have voracious appetites and eat a whole lot of stuff to include grasses, sedges, forbs, shrubs, and willows. They will eat virtually any part of a plant, either by grazing, shearing them off at ground level, or ripping them out entirely from the ground. In winter, they feed heavily on berries and agricultural grains. Tied to those voracious appetites is an interesting fact, and you can say you heard it here on Field Notes. Food passes through their digestive tracts in an efficient hour or two, generating as many as 15 droppings per hour. If you asked me my favorite goose, I'd probably say the greater white-fronted goose, which is listed as a medium-sized goose. In fact, they are essentially identical in both length and weight to snow geese, but with an ever so slightly larger wingspan. Their appearance, however, is quite a bit different. The predominant color over the body, neck, and head is a medium to dark, grayish brown. The undersides, from the legs back, are white. The lower chest and belly has a fair amount of irregular black spotting to it, often described as a black mottling. The legs are orange and the bill can be pinkish or light orangish pink in color. The front of the face, however, is where the goose gets its name. There is a narrow band of white feathers that surrounds the bill and extends up the forehead, a white front. The brown feathers of the head that surround this area are often a darker brown, which can make it look like there's a black outline to the white patch. Greater white-fronted geese are common to our area, state, and pretty much most of the northern hemisphere. They are very abundant across North America, at least west of the Mississippi River. White-fronted geese, like other goose species, mostly live a vegetarian lifestyle, well, at least for the most part. Their diet is mainly comprised of seeds, grains, grasses, sedges, and berries. However, they will add insects and small mollusks to the menu on occasion. The fifth goose I'll mention today is the emperor goose, which got a whole lot of press last year, as it was the first time in 30 years that we had a hunting season for them. They also fall into the medium-sized category, and they're pretty distinct to look at. The body is dark and the throat is black. The legs are orange and the bill is small and pinkish in color. The easy-to-recognize thing about them is that the head and the back of the neck are white, though this often looks like a dingy yellow due to iron oxide in the tidal pools where they like to feed. Emperor geese are very much an Alaskan species. Most birds stay within our state throughout the year. As I said, they got a lot of coverage last year due to the hunting season opening again after a 30-year hiatus, and they certainly got some coverage on this show. Due to a number of factors, including the harsh environments where they live and behaviors that make them more susceptible to hunting pressure, their numbers have been lower than for other species in our state, and it's likely those numbers will continue to be monitored closely moving forward. The last species I'll talk about today is the brant. The brant is a smallish, abundant goose species that's found near ocean shores. They have a brownish body with some dingy white mixed in throughout the undersides. The rump is also white. The head, neck, and chest are a solid, dark black, with a thin, broken collar of white just below the head. When I say small, the body length is right around 2 feet and can be less, and body weight is 3 to 5 pounds. Not as much is known about brants as with other goose species, but except for winters, they are considered a common species to Togiak Refuge. One thing we do know is that they rely heavily on eelgrass as a food source. Over the coming days and weeks, we'll continue to see more and more types of migratory birds making their way back to our state. It's likely when it comes to geese, we'll know they're there. All you'll have to do is listen and look up to the sky. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.